Listen up, Sydney. There's a new kid in town. Mick Molloy has come to play with the big boys. And there's no bigger boy than the King of the West, the Wild Panther, MG. So buckle up. This is going to be one hell of a ride. Mick and MG in the morning. What could go wrong?
I love Charlie Sheen. I love his antics. I love everything he stands for. The guy is the definition of a loose cannon. He's entertained us on the screens and off, as he ever. One of the great characters. I loved it when he went through his winning stage. Do we have a clip?
Yeah, we should.
It's like winning. I was banging 7 gram rocks because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go. I just have a different constitution. I have a different brain. I have a different heart. You know, I got tiger blood, man. I'm too smart to blink, and I cured my brain. That's epic. The run I was on made Sinatra, Flynn, Jagger, Richards, all of them just look like droopy-eyed, armless children. I expose people to magic. I expose them to something they're never otherwise going to see, and they're born normal lives, and I gave that to them, and that's a gift.
Droopy-eyed, armless children. You get the idea. The guy was on a roll, and boy, was it watchable. Anyway, he'd gone quiet of late, and then I was glad to receive this bit of news that Charlie Sheen has expressed a belief that the Loch Ness Monster exists. Fantastic. He's back, baby. He's on something. I don't know what, but it looks like the big fella's back. He's been a follower of this for some time, and to the point where he actually went and spent an evening on a small wooden boat out on Loch Ness, right, with a leg of lamb, a.k.a. the bait, attached to a big hook and a bottle of whiskey for him and his mates, and he sat there overnight. Now, if anyone is going to find Loch Ness Monster, it's Charlie Sheen. Yeah. Isn't that... the fact that he believes in Loch Ness and has gone to all the trouble to travel over there, that's a big night out with your mates. When you go, let's get on a plane, let's go, let's find a local, let's get a leg of lamb and go out there and throw it overboard and honk onto some whiskey. This guy, that's as good as it gets, because none of us here believe in the Loch Ness Monster. Am I right?
No, I don't.
Someone does here.
I don't want to put myself in the same camp as
Charlie
Sheen. Wow. I've been there. It's incredible, and I don't know
you
whether
went
you
went to Loch Ness.
I did.
Did you go there to find the Loch Ness Monster?
I think I did see Nessie.
Oh, come on.
It was after a couple of whiskies.
Oh. And what was Nessie doing?
She was massive.
Would you harpoon it? Would
no,
you
she's
like
too
how big?
She's if huge. I would,
like a dinosaur.
And you saw this.
I did.
Oh,
hang on. I'm not the only
member. I can't believe
of the
a
team.
Word you say now about
anything.
Anything news. If I ever see you reading a news report on the Loch Ness Monster, I'm going to lose my mind. So you believe the Loch Ness Monster. Kat, do you believe in anything at all?
I believe in ghosts. So
you
I've
do?
I've seen a ghost.
Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. Moving my shoes when I was a kid.
You were moving your shoes?
No, the ghost was moving my shoes when I was a kid. And I was just like, that's too real. I'm frightened. But, yeah, and it's always stayed with me. So I believe in ghosts.
A friendly ghost, a bad ghost?
Casper, yep.
Yeah, it didn't bother me, but the presence of it, it's eerie.
Okay, MG, I'm going to ask you, is there anything at all you're convinced is real that other people might not think is real?
I saw a UFO.
What?
Oh.
And nobody believes me.
Oh, hang on a second. There's the bombshell of the day. Now, where did you see a UFO?
Okay, so I was travelling out to Windsor to do a function in 1994. It was about 11:30 in the morning. And up above about, I don't know, it was on the skyline. It was way up there. It was just a little light. I thought, okay, that's pretty early for a star to be out. And all of a sudden, this thing just went whoosh.
Wow.
And went. It disappeared. And I was with a mate. And
was that mate Charlie Sheen? Were you a bottle and a half in? What's happening?
Well, it wasn't my halcyon days, so I might have been on something.
Yeah, so what happened? So it was a light, and then it just disappeared.
And
quick stick.
And I said to my mate Spook, did you see that? Did you just see that UFO? He goes, yep, I certainly did. Yeah, so we went and told people at the function, and No one believed us.
How did that go?
We just saw a UFO on the way out here. Yeah, sure you did, mate. Sure
did you report it to anyone?
Just the local authorities, yeah.
What did it look like?
It looked like a star that just went really quick out of the sky. Like looked like a little an aeroplane in the distance, but it was so
bright. Did you see any aliens?
No.
Were you anally probed?
Yes. And I went back for a second opinion.
Everyone on the show is quite capable of having a big night out and has done in recent history. We'll get to those in just a minute, but we're doing this today and taking your calls in honour of a couple of people who've had an absolute cracker. I'll start with the woman who has had to confront her neighbour after he was caught on CCTV footage pooing on her car at the end of a big night out. It's a great way to finish off a good evening. Just snap one off on your neighbour's grill. The woman has shared the video where she confronts her neighbour with the embarrassing news he defecated on her car after a big night out. Sharing the footage of the disgusting act on CCTV with the world. We've got the moment here. She goes up to her neighbour's house, knocks on the door and confronts him directly.
Did you have a big night last night?
A massive night, yeah.
Did you kick me into the toilet on my car?
No way.
I'm not kidding. Like, I've got most of it.
I was going to come over because I...
No, it's fine. Don't be embarrassed. Oh. I've cleaned most of it off, but... Because we didn't know who it was, so we checked the camera.
Yeah, no. Did I knock on the door last night?
Yeah, I think you did. But, like, it's mainly gone.
Wow.
Hey, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed.
Let me wash it, at least.
Well, yeah, there's only a little bit left. Don't be embarrassed. I've had big nights, too.
Wow. What a woman. How generous is that? She's amazing. That is the definition of sheepish.
Mm.
That is the absolute, oh, sorry, what did I do? She says it was a Mazda 3, but I think it was a Mazda number 2s. It's hard to say. If that was my car, you know what I would have done? I would have waited until I got to this section and made the squeegee guy do it. Hey, can I clean your car? Yes, you can, mate. Yes,
bucks.
You can. Here's $2. Get round the caboose.
Lucky it wasn't a convertible.
Bring your anger. That's right. That would have done it. You know, look, I prefer turtle wax, but that's just me.
That's better for you.
Can you get insurance for that?
Of course. Someone had good on me car.
Yeah, third party fire and dump. Anyway, that's a big night out. There's a lot of people out there pooing randomly these days. Mm. I blame the poo jogger for setting this in train, but you can't just snap one off in the front of the garden, mate. That is a big night out. What about this guy? There's another guy who's a stranger who's broken into someone's house and fallen asleep on the couch. I think he was going to rob the joint and thought, look, I'll just have a lie down. He stumbled into their house, and they took a video, shows a disheveled young man resting peacefully among cushions, arms stretched out and jeans pulled down to reveal his boxers after making himself at home. In the background, you can see the homeowner calling the cops. Mate, that's a lazy criminal. I'll just take a little nap if you don't mind. We're talking big nights. MG, you would have had a couple in your day.
Yes, many, Mickey, many. I remember one night I had my first taste of ouzo. I was 17. Oh. I was working at the... I was working at the Cedars Tavern pub. I don't know basically what happened, but all I know that the next morning I woke up at about 10 a.m. This was I went to the pub on the Wednesday. This is the Thursday morning. Woke up at 10 a.m. and there's a note from my mother. She says, I don't know what you did last night, but you're disgusting. You shit your pants. You shit your pants and you peed. She didn't say peed. She said the other word. All over your bedroom. Wake up. Grow up. I went, wow. So I went back to my room, and she hadn't cleaned it up or anything. I'd sawed my pants, and it looked like I'd had the garden hose all in my bedroom. It was wee everywhere. So boys and girls, don't touch ouzo.
It's a lot like your office here at the station. I think we can beat that, 1-3-3-5-3. Get on board.
Yep.
Take your pick out of mine.
Oh, these were, give us one.
I'm going, okay, but just remember, I'm going back a long way. All right, so a long way. Let's just suggest I may have been kicked out of what could be called a gentleman's club. Well, punched down the stairs, really, by security. And it left with me lying on the nature strip, in fact, to the point when ambulance was called.
Oh, wow.
And I was taken to hospital. So I was in hospital, and let's just be honest, I'd had a couple.
Yeah.
And they had me connected to all this machinery. You know, they had the suction cups on me, and they were taking tests. Well, yeah, I couldn't feel anything in one of my arms. They thought I might have had some spinal damage. Anyway, so I go, look, I know you want to keep me here, but can you? They said, no, well, if you want to leave, you can leave. I said, thank you. I got up and left, and I went to a nightclub. I went to a nightclub, and I managed to pick up a young girl. And we went back to her house, and as I was standing in her bedroom, I took my top off, and she screamed and said, get out. And as I looked down, I still had the 6 suction cups stuck to my chest.
He's an alien.
From where I had been wired up to machinery.
Jeez.
And that was a long walk home from Hawthorne. That's all I'll say. Julian's on the line. Julian, you had a big night out.
Well, hey, everyone, how you going? Big fan.
Hey, Jules.
Good on you, mate.
It wasn't me. I was living at Lugano, and I had a boat house there. And look, I was getting all these trees cut down, and I had a few Tongan guys. They were cutting down all the trees. Anyway, I was away for 2 days. When I came back, I come home, the trees are all there. I go down to the boathouse, Cliff and his mates are asleep, and there's beer cans everywhere. I go, Cliff, what's going on? He's like, oh, Jules, mate, we've got you guys. I just love it down here. I'm like, mate, yeah. I go, it's nice. It's nice. He's like, mate, do you reckon I could pay rent to live here? I'm like, Cliff, I need the trees gone.
Cut the trees down, mate, and you can stay an extra night. Friend of the show, make him welcome. It's Merrick Watts, everybody. Merrick, how are you, buddy?
Now, great to be here.
We were just having an off-air conversation and lamenting the demise of the porn stash. I don't know how it came up, but we were just saying kids today, they get spoon-fed all this stuff on Pornhub and all this. But in our day, there was a real art form to A, acquiring a stack of porn and then hiding it, wasn't it? You had to go to great lengths.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like a lot of things now. The young people don't know how to work for it. And when we were younger, we had to work for it. I shared off air, and I'm happy to share it on air because, you know, quite frankly, it's good material. First time I ever discovered filth was at my grandfather's place in Broken Hill, and he had a shed out the back. A chook shed, and I went out there and I saw a great big sack of grain. And I went, oh, yeah, that's for feeding the chickens. Kind of. Different type of chickens, I think. Because I opened it up and inside was just, it was a treasure trove of filth. From overseas, all paper, kids, all paper.
Oh,
that's how it used to be delivered before it was digitally administered. It was in paper form. And I remember seeing it just going, I'm a young lad. How am I going to carry 85 kilos of porn? And I went, I will find a way.
You drove that shift sack for about 2 Ks.
Well, that's right, kids. Like in our day, there was a couple of magazines at the back of the newsagent wrapped in plastic.
Yes.
And that was as good as it got. That was how it went. Or if you're lucky, even if you couldn't find that, a copy of a National Geographic under your bed would have to do.
I remember that first time, but when you actually you come upon the mother load and you go, I've heard about this.
I'm rich, I tells you. I'm rich.
And I went to work like I had holidays. And I said, Dad, can I come to work with you? I was about 11 or 12, and he went in to get some lunch or pick up something. And I went under the seat and went, oh, what's this? What's Reebald? He said, no, it's Ryebald, mate. He said, that'll hurt you.
Reebald is what you are, MG.
Well, I remember the first porno I ever watched. And how's this? It was I went to my neighbour's house and his dad was overseas and we had to set up a projector. We had to set up a reel-to-reel projector and project it against the wall, right? And what happened was, you know how the film moves through the sprockets? It stopped and burnt out. So you know that burnt where it all burns out? We went, oh, no, now we're in trouble. And we put it all, packed it all back and put it in. And no one ever said a word. So I don't know who was more embarrassed, him or us. But let's just say we didn't mention it ever again.
This is exactly how I thought the morning would kick off at 8 a.m.
Oh, no.
Too, by the way.
Good morning, Sydney.
I actually genuinely did. I thought we'll have a conversation about one thing, but eventually you'll get to some sort of sack of filth.
And we've been joined by Mick Watts. He's in our Melbourne studio today. We're supposed to be joining us live here in the Sydney studio. But your son fell ill. Nothing bad,
yep.
Let's point out. What's the technical term for what he's got?
Stranded in Melbourne. He's supposed to be back in Sydney, back at home, but he's got gastro. Mm. He's got a case of gastro. So he's stranded. I took him on Sunday to like a Sky Zone, you know, one of the indoor play centres and stuff like that, you know, just to hang out. I look, to be honest, he only goes there to beat the living Christ out of younger children. I've seen him.
He's a big boy for 13.
What sort of kid goes there on their own? He doesn't even have any mates. Like, dad's not even hanging out with him. He's just going in there to bash young kids. Good on him. He's had a good time.
I'll tell you where he's got the gastro from. It's the pit full of balls.
Yes. Yes.
They say someone did the tests and reckons pound for pound per square meter, that is the most infected, disgusting place.
Even more than a hotel remote.
It's just full of. It's just they should just call it the fecal pit because that's what it is. It's just you jump in there and you're just jumping around in fecal matter. And I don't reckon it helped. We're about to leave, and I said, "Look, mate, you know, time's up, and hours got. We're going to go now." And he goes, "Yeah, no worries." I said, "Just before you go, though, make sure that you lick all the services, everything here. I want you to go over and see that foam thing, lick that." Touch that, then put your hands in your mouth a little bit, and then bang, before we knew it, accidentally got gastro.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, a bit of a big weekend for my boy.
Was that the first time he's ever seen you perform?
No, on Saturday, I took my son to see Grapes of Mirth with me in Coonawarra. We flew to Coonawarra, which is in South Australia, and had a gig there. My son's 13 years of age, and he has never seen his father on the job, like on the tools as a stand-up comedian.
Must have been impressed. He would have been to see his dad up there and entertaining people. That awesome.
Oh, so underwhelmed. He was
What do you mean?
Oh, mate, do you know how awkward it is when your son asks for a refund and you go, mate, you didn't even buy a ticket. And he goes, I want my money back. And I went, you didn't pay. What are you talking about?
What was his beef?
I'm not going to lie. I'll tell you the truth. I got up and one of the first jokes I did was about the fact that my 13-year-old son was the first time he'd ever seen his dad doing stand-up. Yeah. And I said, if you're looking for which one he is, he's the young lad there with a bum bag and it's full of pills that we're selling here. That was the joke. It's a terrible joke.
I don't know, but it'd make me laugh.
But it was, mate, my son's just going, Dad, don't say that. You're lame. And he was just trying to do a runner. Get out.
I want to go to Sky Zone.
Wow.
Then I made some jokes about my relationship with my wife, and then he just went, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done.
That's very hard.
Did your kids ever get to see you play in the day? Were they old enough?
Yeah, it's weird to see me play, but I know post-career, when I've got to go to a sports lunching or something like that, my dad went to one about 5 or 6 years ago, come to one, and I went, I'm about to tell this story. I don't want my dad to hear this story. So you kind of hold back a bit if you've got someone in the audience, that, you know, one of your loved ones. Because I kind of just didn't want to, I thought, no, that's not right for him to hear this, in this forum.
Yeah.
No, it's shameful. Yes. All three of us are shameful fathers. We don't want our kids knowing what we actually do. Don't be ridiculous.
I put my boys on the radio at age 3 and they sang the Richmond theme song. If you tell me that's not great parenting.
That's child abuse. Honestly, Docs would have been on the phone straight away.
Hell, they took. I said, you can take one. Take Fred. Leave Lenny.
Oh, Fred. Poor Lenny.
Can you remember the first time you ever saw your dad at work? Like, you know, that like, and the underwhelmed kind of nature of seeing your father for the first time in the workplace?
I remember my father's in the Air Force, so I remember the early days of that. Mm. And then he used to fly in the end, towards the end, VIP squadron. So he would fly around Gough Whitlam, the Shah of Iran. And when he left his job, and this was, I thought this was so cool, when he left his job, they gave him a mounted toilet seat with all the bums that had sat on it. And it literally had the King of Iran, the Shah of Iran, Prince Charles, and all that. And I went, wow, my dad's a legend. Yeah. Look what
some royalty have sharred themselves on that toilet seat.
They've had a real crack. Imagine the reading material that's gone on here. All right, girls, time to talk Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yay.
Tash and Kat, both big fans. Yes.
No. Yes.
Oh, I can't stand it. Am I allowed to say that?
What's your beef? Yes, you can.
It started with the steaming of the undercarriage and where you literally basically sit on a humidifier. That's what she was recommending. Dangerous, unhealthy, unnecessary.
If you've got a bit of spare time on your hands.
Exactly.
Why not straddle a humidifier?
What else has she done? What else has she done to you?
Oh, Tash and I were talking about the candles.
The candle's ridiculous. It's $150. I'm not going there. She just does my head in.
Yep.
I have one of those candles.
You do not.
What candle?
This Smells Like My Vagina candle by Gwyneth Paltrow. Great. It was given to me by Jane Kennedy as a present for my birthday. So what I did was I lit it and then blew it out and made a wish, which was, I wish I hadn't smelt this candle. Here's a tip. Don't get downwind of the Smells Like My Vagina candle. Do you know what happened? My boys found it in my head. They go, Dad, what's this? Just put that down and walk away. I don't know where that's been. So anyway, it's a candle. It's a product. It comes from her Goop range. Well, she's revealed this week the weirdest thing she's done in pursuit of wellness. Oh. It's called ozone therapy. And let her tell you how she takes it.
I have used ozone therapy rectally. It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
But it's been very helpful.
Yeah.
A bit of ozone up the poop chute.
Oh, yes. On the anus.
Make sure the candle's nowhere near that. Make sure the candle's nowhere near that. The whole thing could blow up.
No wonder Chris Martin got rid of
her. Right. That's contributing to global warming, I would have thought.
I actually like
it.
It's
called rectal insufflation. Get into it, girls. Would you give it a go?
No, because a gastroenterologist actually said it's incredibly dangerous.
Oh,
God, you're a party
pooper. What would he know?
I'd give it a crack. Is it free?
Yeah, good.
No, it's like
$20,000. Is there a nearby therapist that does it?
No, but I'll tell you what to do. Just use the air hose down at the servo. That'll...
I got news for you.
What news?
Global news coverage.
The news of the world.
And helping us out as always with breaking. Is it breaking news?
It is breaking news
with Natasha Belling.
Yes. Oh, good morning. Yes, look, a reportedly desperate Vladimir Putin has taken to advertising on Pornhub in a bid to persuade Russian men.
As in it.
To join his war against Ukraine. It's going very well for Vlad.
What's his cat's cry?
Details shortly after the weather. An advert from the country's mercenary group, a pro-Kremlin private army founded by a close ally of Putin, who is dubbed his chef, has gone viral since first being spotted on the popular porn website this week. Now, apparently the commercial features a lovely lady twirling a lollipop in her mouth, urging men to stop watching videos or online content, start fighting, and was showing to Russian users before they viewed explicit content. So basically, the war in Ukraine is going so badly, he needs to go to Pornhub.
Soldiers. Firstly, they have ads on Pornhub, do they?
I didn't know. I've never. What's Pornhub? What's
Do you pay for the subscription?
What's Pornhub? I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, these guys will be good because they're used to seeing stuff explode in people's faces. Don't you think that would be...
I used to be a journalist.
No, well, that was a long time ago. You know, if looking at porn was all you needed to become a good soldier, I would have won a Victoria Cross by now. There'd be a march for me one day a year. You can imagine all the old veterans in 50 years' time. Yeah, I fought in the 101st Stiffy Division. a minute's silence would be touched. A minute's silence would be terrible. We lost a lot of horny men that day. Yeah. Right, there's another story here for you, Tash.
No, yeah. I'm refusing to read it.
I'm sorry, it's in your contract. You've got to read it.
Oh, you're done the Pornhub story, but yeah.
Not going to do the other
you're
one.
You're not going to do it?
The other one was about Ukraine.
Well,
come on. So it was essentially a serious world event, was it?
Yes.
All right, I'll do one. Oh. Now, this went to a meteorologist in Philadelphia. We're going to America now. Delivered more than the weather prediction on Friday morning when she cracked a raunchy on-air joke that seen her colleagues a little skew with. So it was St. Patrick's Day. Yep. They were talking about beers and having a beer in each hand. You always got double parked or
that's right.
Whatever. And here's how it went down live on air in the weather.
Today mild, some sunshine, 60. Thursday, partly sunny skies, and 57. And to another woman who likes to be double-fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
She means beer. She means beer. Guys.
What's that? What is that?
Just stick to the weather, doll. Her name's Karen. The meteorologist.
That's funny. That is funny.
Well, in 40-degree heat, we could use
a
weather report like that. You know what we're saying.
Scorcher on the weekend.
It's absolutely scorcher. All right, I think we're done here.
I think we are.
There's a town in Canada called Regina, which has got itself in trouble for a tourism campaign. And let's be honest, you know Regina rhymes with work it out for yourself. It claims the advertising sexualized the city. A series of new slogans leaned into the city's double entendre name with taglines such as Show Us Your Regina and The City That Rhymes With Fun. Some residents said it was immature and belittling to women. Yeah, but kind of funny. Experience Regina is the name of the campaign. Apologised on Sunday, saying the rebrand crossed the line and created negative impact. Have you got the jingle there, Kat?
I sure do. Regina! Experience Regina!
There you go. I plan to visit Regina very soon.
Yeah.
Although I believe a lot of men can't find the town hall, if you know what I mean.
Or the pool.
Here's all I'm saying is I hope that once a year they trim the trees around Regina. I'm just saying. They call me the mayor of Regina. That's all I'm saying. What's the story? Do we have any more details to put onto this?
I don't think we do.
Yes.
First, I've got so much to unpack with this story.
Sure.
Who is sitting in that room and doesn't say, I've got a problem with this ad. Maybe the jingle really sucks and maybe people might associate it with something else. Who gets paid to make these decisions?
I think they deliberately try to make the association with something else.
Yeah,
I think that's not an accident. Experience Regina. Here's some of their other slogans. Regina, it's cozy and warm.
Oh.
My Regina, your Regina, our Regina. That's what I would run with.
Yeah.
Have a quickie in Regina.
Come and visit Ron Jeremy in Regina.
Go deep into Regina. I mean, look, your town's called Regina.
Tasha's left.
Tasha's left.
She's gone.
She's not for her.
Oh, what? Can't smell a Walkley? Over this one. And she's not even left the studio. I think she's left the building.
She has.
Yes, she has. She's got a
purse.
She's got a purse.
She stormed off to the elevator.
She might be visiting Regina.
Oh, she's back. What did she say?
She just came back to get terse. What did you say?
Just gone to Adelaide to clean up the diplomatic incident with Mick Malloy.
I'm now in one with Regina. Regina! Yes!
Come and visit.
I like it.
Oh, me too. Is that a local, do you think?
Yeah.
We're going there. Going to outside broadcast.
Oh, I think, is that a...
That is my new karaoke song.
It's my ringtone.
Regina, from a small town in Canada. That was their tourism campaigns. Got them in a lot of hot water. Of course, rhymes with vagina, and they've taken advantage of it. It got us thinking about all our other favourite places. We've done this before in the program. Funny
we have.
Town names. You've got a couple of favourites which you love, which come up occasionally.
Well, MG. I've actually booked the trip at Christmas for me and my wife Meg to take a two-week trip. Well, okay, we're going to leave Wanker's Corner in Wilsonville, USA. Going to leave there and going to head straight to Spunk Creek, Minnesota as well. Then we're going to go over to New Zealand to go Shag Point. That's going to stay there for 4 days. Then before settling down for a few days in Intercourse, Pennsylvania. So
that's I love trip it. Where,
yeah, you, should be you nice.
Wouldn't think you're going to Twat in the Shetland Islands? Or what about Bully Hole Bottom? Come on, in Wales.
They're closed for renovation.
Sandy Balls in New Forest, England. What about Iron Knob in Queensland? That's more close to home. You can nick up there. You can nick up to Iron Knob for a dirty weekend. What about Cockfosters, London? No, not interested.
Well, what about Wankham? Dildo in Canada?
Wankham, Germany. Tits. You can go to Tits, Germany. Kat, where would you go?
Tash, you can't say that one, by the way.
I've always wanted to go to Whitney, England to visit Cockshoot Close. And then I might also then follow up across the ditch to Minnesota and go to Spunk Creek.
Yep.
Followed by Slack Bottom back to England. Just do a bit of a back and forth between the three.
Well, you are a Kentucky tour guide, so you know exactly where to go.
I know the best spots.
Yep, yeah.
Now, Natasha, I believe you're interested in going to Austria. Whereabouts in Austria?
Suffer terribly from any type of travel sickness, so I've got to be very careful.
Yep. You're going to Austria. Whereabouts in Austria are you going?
Oh, what?
Pardon?
F-U-C-K-I-N-G.
That's the actual name of a town. Oh, well done, Kat. You're all over that with a beep too, by the
very
way.
Very quick.
And what was the one in
New Zealand?
What was the one in New Zealand?
Yeah. I went skiing to New Zealand, and the name of this place, I've heard the locals pronounce it, and I didn't believe them. So as a journalist, I used to be a journalist, I went into the local petrol station and said to the guy, is this how you pronounce it? And it's pronounced fuck-a-papa.
Whoa.
You're supposed to do
once
it
again,
when I'm saying it.
All over it.
Okay,
your timing is impeccable.
No, I'm good. This time, I promise.
Let's go to a break.
I think so too.
Time for another week that was on Mick and MG in the morning. MG started the week in a singing mood.
Out of mind, out of sight. Tiger, what are you doing?
It's not karaoke. There is no point in me saying Mike's on, is there?
Is that your karaoke song?
No.
What's your karaoke song? I get knocked down. Slice it up again.
Slice of heaven.
Yeah. Are you serious?
By the way, that should be the New Zealand national anthem.
Of course it should be.
We asked you for the best advice you've ever been given.
Don't get your possibilities mixed up with your capabilities.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
There's no point being the richest man in the graveyard.
Yes. Well.
Never stick your mickey where you wouldn't put your finger.
Oh, I'm writing that down.
Yeah, I'm just...
I'm offended by the use of the word mickey.
Yeah.
A naive person has shit in three places. On their shoe, on their finger, on their nose.
I haven't seen that in a fortune cookie before.
Mick was pointing fingers after an e-bike exploded in someone's garage.
You know who I blame? Greta Thunberg. Oh, sorry, we've got a wars. I'd ride a bike and a scooter and not fossil fuel was bad.
Wow.
This is on her head. If someone dies, if someone comes a cropper on an e-scooter or an e-bike, it's on your head,
yep.
Thunberg.
Animals on Drugs is really becoming an unstoppable movie force.
Cocaine Bear, which is taking the world by storm.
Bonkers.
Meth Gator.
Meth Gator. Heroin Horsey. Quaalude Quackers. The Echi Echidna. The Ketamine Kookaburra.
Monkey on Marijuana.
The Fentanyl Frill Neck Lizard. Come on. Okay, here's one. How scary is this? Hot Chip Seagull. No, it comes... It comes through your hot chips. You got to finish that.
Nom, nom, nom. Mick got some unusual help after injuring his back.
I turned suddenly the other morning. I thought I was being followed to work. I've turned around and gone, "You're right, mate." Oh, Jesus. And I've dropped to the ground. The guy then came up and goes, "Mick, mate, are you okay?" I'm going to get a massage.
Yes.
I may as well have gone to a panel beater. The first thing I did as I'm lying down, my missus puts on two pairs of gloves. Oh. I go, "Hello. Oi. I don't know where this is going, but I'm not sure I like it." Both hands down my mouth. In fact, it did look like a proper mess.
We all think Tash needs an intervention after this confession.
I have 83 pillows. Oh, in my
stop
house.
It!
Oh my goodness! Something's what? Wrong with you, sister.
I have a pillow what? Problem, so I put lots of pillows same on our bed. I think there's like maybe 8.
I don't need pillows. You know what I need? Airbags for when it gets a little rough and tumbly. Oh. Hello, girls. Dinner's on.
Oh, no.
Airbags explode, and sometimes a couple of rodeo clowns run into the room to separate us.
Gwyneth Paltrow made some bizarre headlines.
The weirdest thing she's done in pursuit of wellness. Oh. It's called ozone therapy, and let her tell you how she takes it.
Rectally?
You just use the air hose down at the servo.
And Mick reveals he has one of her special candles at home.
"This smells like my vagina candle by Gwyneth Paltrow. It was, I lit it and then blew it out and made a wish, which was, I wish I hadn't smelled this candle."
Then Mick and MG planned their funerals.
I've worked out the songs, I suppose, what I want to hear. I want to hear a bit of...
What's that?
"Burning Love" from Elvis, if I get cremated.
"Burning Love"?
"Lord Almighty, feel my temperature rising."
I'd like an open casket, and I'm not wearing pants. And hopefully rigor mortis is set in.
And finally, we heard what happened when Mick went bungee jumping in New Zealand.
"Now, I went bungee jumping off the side of a mountain, so when the bungee cord kicked in, I was 3,000 feet above the ground."
Whoa.
"Right, so I had to winch me back up. I'm standing on the platform, and I've seen it now, and I don't want to do it. So as a joke, I go to the operator. I go, "G'day, mate, is this where the ladies jump, or have you got anything higher?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, good on you, mate. That's very funny. You're just going to attach this to your legs. Now all you have to do is run up and jump off." And I've seen it. I don't want to do it. So I just kept repeating everything he said. I go, "You know what, so we've attached that, have we?" And I just run up and jump off. He goes, "Yes, mate, it's attached. You just run up and jump off." So I did. I ran up and jumped off. And as I did, the guy who's operating it goes, "Hang on, mate, not yet."
Oh, oh no.
3,000 above the ground, convinced I'm attached to nothing. You know how they say your life flashes before your eyes?
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, all I could see was just lots of pictures of me on the couch watching telly. But anyway, they've got to winch me back up. They can't let me down. And they knew they were in trouble. I go, "G'day, fellas, who said that?" And the guy goes, "It was me." I go, "Mate, you'd be in a lot of trouble right now if that wasn't so funny." And we exchanged underpants and I left.
And that was another wonderful week that was on Mick and MG in the Morning on Triple M Sydney.
Mick Malloy, MG in the Morning.